This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org. We're 5 months and 4 days away from the election. It's been a rather quiet election season by Louisiana standards. We do have some candidates challenging John Bel Edwards for governor, but I think the Republican Party, as Scott Wilfong has said on this show, it's not your A-list group. It's not John Neely Kennedy, not even William Morgan Cassidy. It's Ralph Abraham and Eddie Rasponi, and Governor John Bel Edwards doesn't have Steve Scalise on his heels either. So he is, I think, the prohibitive favorite to win re-election, but there are some other elections for lieutenant governor, for attorney general, for treasurer, for agriculture commissioner, for insurance commissioner. All of those offices are held by people who are of the Republican stripes, the Secretary of State, Kyle Ardoin, former Democrat. And that brings us to Stephen Handwerk, our leadoff guest. And as I look at party registration, there are 350,000 more Democrats than there are Republicans in the state. How do Republicans keep winning statewide office, Stephen Handwerk?
You know, look, I think that with all elections are local. And, you know, we've been doing a really good job of building up our farm team right now. And I'm incredibly impressed by the number of individuals that have gotten involved that are running now in races where, quite frankly, we've had a hard time fielding candidates. And I'm looking forward to having a large slate of individuals running this year to give voters that option.
John Bel Edwards is the marquee candidate. He defied the odds and won the election 4 years ago with the help of a wounded Republican, David Bruce Vitter. How's he looking?
Look, we're incredibly pleased with where the governor is sitting right now, but there's nobody even close to our team that is even close to saying that we are resting on anything. We are working incredibly hard to build throughout the state and to engage with voters. And the good news is that we're hearing great things from all over the state of people wanting to get involved, wanting to roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Well, right now in Louisiana, there are 1,263,000 Democrats, 912,000 Republicans, and 780,000 other party. The other party is growing more than the other two. In fact, some people are moving to the, quote, other party. But still, numerically, the Democrats have 1,263,000 people. Quite often, you could win an election with that that kind of support in Louisiana. In fact, that's a lot more than voted for the governor. I think if you put Vitter and Edwards combined, they wouldn't equal the number of Democrats. All you have to do is turn out your voters, Stephen Handwerk, and it's
imagine that. Imagine that.
Why are we so reluctant to vote?
Well, look, I mean, you have to look at nationally. I mean, you have to look here in the state. When we're looking at this year's election, we've got to look at what voter turnout is expected to be. And many of the prognosticators are telling us that, you know, turnout's going to be 40 to 45%. That is a problem. We're working incredibly hard to make sure we connect with voters. But here's why I think this year we're going to see some differences. I think that we're going to see some differences because this year, with this governor, who is led by his values since day one, we're going to be seeing a lot of folks turn out because they're going to want to have his back. He's fighting for things that they care about that mean a lot to them by showing up and making sure that they're supporting increasing minimum wage, making sure that we pass the Equal Rights Amendment, and certainly making sure that we give teachers a pay raise, the first one in more than a decade. And I need to remind everyone, the last raise that our teachers got was through another great Democratic governor, Kathleen Babineau Blanco, and we still thank her for that, but it's reprehensible that it's taken a decade in order for us to get another raise for them, but we're going to do that this year with the governor's leadership.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org for Stephen Handwerk in his eighth year as executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party. A poll from John Cuvion has been dispensed this morning, and it's a poll of Louisiana voters, 650 responses, April 25 through 27 and 29, so it's a recent poll. Do you approve of the performance of President Donald John Trump? 54% say yes, 37% say no, they disapprove, and 9 no opinions. So the president remains popular in Louisiana. How's he doing it?
Look, at the end of the day, I mean, I think that voters respond to this president because he does shoot from the hip, because he is upsetting the apple cart. And I think that people respond to that. On the other side, though, we look at his obfuscation. We look at how he is getting us in a lot of trouble. You know, if you ask our soybean farmers, they're going to have a completely different opinion. And that's why his numbers appear to be going down in almost all of the polls that we're seeing. This is certainly a new low water mark, if you're to believe this poll.
And the question about the governor's election, if the election were today, which candidate would you support? 7% Eddie Rasponi. 23% Ralph Abraham, 32% undecided, 38% John Bel Edwards. Some would say an incumbent at 38% is vulnerable. How do you see it?
Well, look, first off, I don't know about this poll at all. It seems to be a bit of a fantasy poll commissioned by some individuals who, by the way, got it incredibly wrong just 4 years ago. I believe 4 years ago, the same pollster had the governor at 28% 3 weeks before the primary. The governor ended up getting 40%. And then they had the governor at 47% a week before the runoff. And in 2015, the governor in the runoff got 56%. So I don't know that we can trust their pollster that much. But again, the governor is running his race by his values. That is how he is always led. And it's connecting with voters. I don't know about this poll.
Even Roy Fletcher, the card-carrying Republican, former Democrat, by the way, but now an in-the-trenches GOP stalwart, he says there's a 75% chance of re-election for John Bel Edwards. 877-217-5757, Linda in New Orleans. Linda, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Stephen Handwerk.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is in reference to the legislative session right now. What can we do? How can we get meaningful legislation passed during this session?
That's a really good question.
Hold on for just a second, though. When you say meaningful legislation, what are you referring to, Linda?
Things that are important to a majority of the people in the state, I guess. Not, you know, there's some pieces of legislation that pass that are very good things for people, but they seem to affect very small groups, or they're sort of vanity things. But I'm talking about something like making sure the teachers get the money that they should get, and that we have money going to the schools for the students, so the teachers aren't having to take their pay raise and then still go out and buy supplies for the kids.
All right. Good point. That
great
issue
point.
Is on the front burner. Looks like that's one that may actually get enough support, a very modest, by the way, $1,000 pay raise, which won't bring Louisiana to the national or regional level for teacher pay, but still, symbolically, it means something.
But it's important to know, though, that the Republicans are trying to even stop that through little games and tricks inside the legislature. It went back to Bessie. Bessie then had to also come in and say that they support the increase to the MFP. So this is by far not a done deal. So to answer the caller's question, it's get involved. You need to find out who your state rep is. You need to find out who your state senator is. You need to call and get weighed in. Even if they are a Democrat who has already said that they're there, call and let them know that you appreciate the work that they're doing. It's incredibly important, especially in this election year, to let the people who are voting on these things know where we stand.
State Senator John Milkovich, Democrat from Shreveport, has released a presser saying he's one step closer to prohibiting abortions when a baby's fetal heartbeat can be detected. Senate Bill 184 passed the Senate 31-5, and John Milkovich, who is a Democrat, has some support in his party, obviously, and also he may very well have the support of the governor. Your thoughts about that measure?
Well, look, I think it's quite interesting that we are putting together a constitutional amendment that takes on this question on abortion and abortion rights in general. But it seems that the legislature is not willing to put on the ballot whether we raise the minimum wage or not. So something so critical and life-sustaining as increasing the minimum wage, I'd really want to be talking more about that. And I really want people to be talking more about that, because if you want to raise, if you want to rise the tide and lift all boats, you're going to go ahead and increase the minimum wage, because many of our surrounding states have already done it.
Is Senator Milkovich a Democrat in good standing?
I'll just leave that Senator Milkovich is a handful.
He is a handful running for re-election. And you talk about a guy who has fortitude. He has it. You may not like him, and certainly he's been on this show, and he's been given a hard time by the host. But he comes back for more, and he is running, and he refuses to switch parties. If he were to switch, would you complain?
Not at all.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll be back with Stephen Handwerk, Executive Director, Louisiana Democratic Party, after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Easter. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And I get emails from Stephen Handwerk. And one of them says, we're excited to announce the biggest training day Louisiana Democrats have ever seen. The True Blue Summit is the kickoff event for our Summer of Action. What's going on with this?
Look, we're really excited. We have such a great bench of candidates that are going to be coming into town. We're going to be doing the training here in Baton Rouge. Anyone who wants more information can visit LouisianaDemocrats.org. What we wanted to do was we wanted to bring in a bunch of experts from all over the country to be able to come and share with all of our candidates ways to save money, ways to better connect with voters, and ways to actually do their jobs better. Because we have such a great recruiting class, if you will, of new folks that have never run for office before, we have such an excitement and such a hunger for new information. So that is coming up on May the 18th. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope folks will check us out and get more information if they're interested in learning how to either run for office or help people who are running for office.
Well, I also get email from people like our erudite Congressman Steve Scalise. He says, I emailed you. Kevin McCarthy emailed you. Now I'm emailing you again. I need your immediate help so we can reach our FEC deadline and take back your conservative majority. All gifts are triple matched. Here's the thing. Conservatives in Congress are working alongside President Trump to pass an agenda that addresses our border crisis. But with Democrats holding the majority, our common sense solutions have largely been ignored. We must retake our majority and fight for President Trump's agenda that keeps America safe. Help us retake our majority by rushing anything you can before our FEC deadline. Thank you, Steve.
Well, I think that you might need to
put it. Are you
ready
to write the check?
I'm on it. One of the things that I think that we're hearing loud and clear from voters is this sort of, you know, hair on fire type mentality is not really working, and they'd like to see a lot less of it. They'd like us to be honest with them. Our responses from our donors, from our folks that are getting involved, really appreciate our candor when we're talking about things. These guys want to stay hard focused on these far right wing extremist things that the vast majority of voters are more worried about how they're going to make sure that they keep Billy and Susie in college? How are they going to make sure that they can afford their prescription drugs, which just keep skyrocketing in price? These are the things the voters care about. And what I'm really happy to report is not only our governor, but our entire team this year is focused on exactly those things.
Stephen Handwerk with us. And a listener has gotten on me for saying that the Democratic Party should be performing better based on its numerical advantage over Republicans, and I just looked at the numbers. 42.7% of the state registered voters are Democrats. Only 30.8% are Republicans. Mm-hmm. But the listener says, and this is a good point, that Stephen Handwerk, you and your people in the hierarchy at the Democratic Party should be credited for keeping so many people in the Democratic fold. Many Democrats are obviously voting Republican. Why are they not switching to the Republican Party? They may vote for a Republican, but they can't bring themselves to join the GOP. Why is that?
Well, look, I I think a lot of time is spent on this. I spent a lot of time talking with my team and looking at this. And look, the one thing that I will tell you is I honestly believe that there is a lot of voters out there who don't spend every waking moment tied to talk radio, God forbid, because they should be listening to you every day. But the thing that most voters are worried about is that it's become so incredibly aggressive. It's become so incredibly cutthroat when there is no such thing anymore in politics such as proportional response. That is causing problems, and I think it's turning a lot of voters off. And so a lot of voters are like, look, I want to be no part of either of those parties. What we are doing, what we are staying focused on, it's less about, and I've been saying this for a while, and I think that's why we're getting a good response, is that I'm not arguing D versus R. I am arguing right versus wrong. It's right for us to want to increase teacher pay. It's right for us to want to increase minimum wage. And it's certainly right to make sure that we provide quality, affordable health care to every Louisiana citizen.
All right. Will you have a candidate against the Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser?
We are working incredibly hard on our recruitment goals. It's not my story to tell, but I'm hoping that we will have some news, and I will make sure they've got Jim Engster at the top
right,
of their
okay.
list.
What about Attorney General?
We're looking incredibly hard at that. We're talking to a lot of our friends. I know that we're going to have a great candidate in that race. I just don't have any news to make because it's not mine.
877-217-5757. Josh in Shreveport. Hi, Josh. You're on with Stephen Handwerk.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Stephen. Hey, Jim. Josh from Shreveport, Louisiana. Jim was just kind of talking about my question, but I was just wondering what statewide offices are going to be a target for the Louisiana Democratic Party in the upcoming election.
Sure, I think all of them, especially, you know, the Attorney General has taken his office and turned it into a hyper-partisan situation that, you know, he's using our tax dollars to do it, which we think that that is wrong. We are talking to several folks. We want to make sure we've got a great candidate that can face him, and we're going to do that. Look, I also think we've already got some declared candidates that are running for Ag Commissioner, and especially with the missteps that our Ag Commissioner Mr. Strain has made, I think that we have a very good opportunity of being able to pick that seat back up as well.
877-217-5757 is your number for Stephen Handwerk. And another listener who looks to next year when Donald Trump will be running for re-election against a Democrat. And William Morgan Cassidy will be seeking a second term on the same day, same ballot. And obviously he'll be tied to Trump, and he probably doesn't object to that at all, but if you vote for President Trump, you'll be voting most likely for William Morgan Cassidy, who probably will win re-election. But we thought the same thing about David Bruce Vitter when he was seeking the governorship, and things turned out differently. And Cassidy, as we know, was a supporter of Senator Vitter. What about next year's Senate election?
Look, the great news is we've got a lot of interest in that race. We've got to kind of – one of the things with us having these off-year elections for the gubernatorial, we've got to walk and chew gum at the same time. So I'm really happy that we've got candidates that are already potential candidates already reaching out to us, having good conversations. Again, don't have any stories to tell you right now because it's not my story to tell. But I'm incredibly excited about our opportunities because, again, I think people want to get away from all of this hyper-partisan. They want people to just go to work for them.
Drake in Mid-City. Hi, you're on Talk Louisiana with Stephen Handwerk.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Jim. My question is more specifically, I'm a young political science student here in Baton Rouge, and I'm actually looking to work with my local government, preferably for a Democratic member. That's the opportunity that I'm looking for, not simply just on a volunteer basis. What would be the best resource for me?
Look, I'm telling you what, we're getting calls every single day to our office from candidates that are looking for help. The best thing that you can do is reach out to us on our website, LouisianaDemocrats.org. We are building a treasure trove of resumes so that we can forward those over to our candidates so that they can possibly give you that first job in politics so that you can cut your teeth, get the experience that you're wanting, and also put your education to good use. So please reach out to us. LouisianaDemocrats.org and click on through to the jobs postings that we have. We have a way that you can get in contact with us, and I'd really love to hear from you because we have a lot of folks looking for help.
As far as the national race next year with the president, how do you see it evolving?
Well, I think now that we've got about 47 Democrats in the race, is that the new count? Somewhere near. Look, I'm incredibly excited about our field. One of the things that because I love all of our Democrats that are running, and I want all of them to be successful, I'm urging everyone right now to, this is the time that we should be falling in love. This is the time that we should be backing those candidates. And I think that there's a time that we can talk about electability, but right now we should be backing those candidates. If you have someone that you like, you should get involved with their campaign. We're hearing from candidates all over, including from the presidential campaigns themselves, asking for folks to get involved.
Who's the front runner?
Depends which poll you're looking at. From Biden to Sanders to Mayor Pete to Kamala Harris, I think they're all doing amazingly well.
Those are
the
top four right now.
Looks like it. Yeah.
Amy Klobuchar is going on Fox. Sanders did it. Fared pretty well. We'll talk more with Stephen Handwerk about the president when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Still time to talk with Stephen Handwerk, the executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party for the last 8 years. And your number is 877-217-5757. 5 months and 4 days away from the 2019 governor's election, and that means elections for all statewide elected officials in Louisiana, and except for the two U.S. senators, and all the legislative seats. They'll all be on the ballot on October 12th. 877-217-5757 is your number. Now, I mentioned a few times, Democrats have about 43% of the registered voters in Louisiana under their banner, Republicans 31%. And a listener asked, why did people like John Neely Kennedy and William Morgan Cassidy, why did they have an epiphany and become Republicans rather late in life? Cassidy was almost 50. Kennedy was nearly 55 when they had this conversion experience and became born-again Republicans. Why did they not stay in the Democratic Party when you look at the numbers?
Well, and I think that it comes down to it. It's that they need and desire to be in elected office. And so they have been perfect examples of political windmills. Whichever the wind tends to blow, those guys will typically follow it. And that's disappointing. That is certainly disappointing because I'm old enough to remember when John Neely Kennedy ran for United States Senate, and he was running to the left of all of the other Democrats.
That was 15 years ago.
Exactly right.
When he was 52 years old.
That's exactly right. And because of that, I mean, I think that that adds to our voter cynicism. And I think that we and all of our candidates this year have to do a better job of really talking to voters about things they care about and stop getting caught up in the claptrap and the national sort of talking points and deliver for voters. If you deliver for voters, voters will deliver for you, and we're going to see that this mm-hmm. October when we reelect our governor.
Well, the president right now is objecting to his tax returns being released to mm-hmm. the House Ways and Means Committee, and there is a law from 1927 which says he shall produce those records.
Yep.
He hasn't done it. He's objecting to Robert Mueller testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. He's objecting to Don McGahn, his executive counsel, testifying before the same committee. And it's a constitutional challenge. William Barr, the attorney general, is not releasing the unredacted Mueller report to members of the Congress. So we're going to have a court battle, it appears, and it looks like the attorney general is working for the president. He may think he's working for the people of the United States, but it appears that his first objective is to be in good standing with the President of the United States, who does hold his job over his head.
Yep.
So what do you think's going on, and how will this play out?
Well, look, this is playing out exactly how it was scripted. The bottom line is Barr auditioned for the job by writing a rebuke of the work that Mueller was doing and the process in which he was doing it. This should not be surprising to anyone that they are going to shut everything down now. The real question here is, what is he hiding? I go back, Jim, and again, I've perhaps been involved in politics for way too long, but just insert any other president's name into this conversation and just bring up one thing that this president has done and change the name to Barack Obama, change the name to Bill Clinton, and tell me that they would have gotten away with it. Even insert the name George W. Bush. Okay, to think that Republicans would have let him get away with anything that this president is doing right now, I think it is scary for our country.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Hi, Gustavo. You're on with Stephen Handwerk.
Indulge me for two questions or comments or what have you. The first one is, this gentleman keeps on saying, listen to your constituents. Listen to what your people have to say. Nobody does that. Look at, for example, this congressperson, Omar, for example. Do you really think that the people in Minnesota, wherever she's coming from, do you really think that the people in Minnesota are anti-Semitic, or they believe that 9/11 was something that somebody did? Come on. And the second piece is this. Why are we talking about President Trump? Don't we have enough problems here in Louisiana that we need to solve? So leave President Trump and Congress and the people in Washington, D.C. do their job. How about if we concentrate in Louisiana? Because we need a lot of leadership that presently we don't have with Bell Edwards.
All right. Well, Gustavo, I'm going to let Stephen answer, but the congressional delegation certainly, with one exception, Cedric Richmond, is applauding the president every step of the way and trying to get as close to his massive frame as they can and put their arms around him and march on to the next election with Donald John Trump at their side. So, Stephen Handwerk, we have a congressional delegation very bullish on our president.
Well, do we, though? Because I'd like to point out that we don't really know where one of those members of Congress is, because he's not voting on anything, because he's not doing his job.
Well, he's running for governor.
So that means that he gets to collect a government paycheck.
You know how he would vote. And John Bell Edwards, a few years ago when he was running, he missed some votes in the legislature. Ralph Abraham is missing a lot of votes. I'll give you that. But it's very difficult to be in two places at the same time.
I understand that. But again, he's drawing a paycheck. Okay? He promised to donate all of his paycheck because you shouldn't pay for representation.
His words.
He reneged on that, didn't tell anyone, started accepting the paycheck. And even now, when he's not doing the job...
Okay.
When he's not doing the job, Jim.
But on the whole, if he were voting, he would be voting right along with Trump, as are Garrett Graves and Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson and Clay Higgins. Oh, he would be voting with the president.
How do we know?
Because he's voted with him consistently.
Well, look, I would love for him to be on the record, because right now our soybean farmers, a lot of them are in his district, are hurting really bad right now. A lot of folks are hurting really bad right now. I'd love for him to weigh in on a lot of the different issues that are there. But the fact of the matter is, he's MIA. He's going around and picking up a lot of checks. Okay? That's what he's prioritized. And he's taking your tax dollars to do it.
All right. Well, the New York Times today on its front page has a big story about the president's tax returns, which they have retrieved. They secured 10 years of returns from 85 through 94, and it is a stunning revelation. It says in 1985, the president reported losses of over $46 million. The losses continued every year, totaling $1.2 billion in losses for the decade. In fact, year after year, Mr. Trump appears to have lost more money than nearly any other taxpayer in America. The Times found that when it compared the results with detailed information the IRS compiles on an annual sampling of high-income earners, his core business losses in 1990 and 91, more than $250 million each year, were more than double those of the nearest taxpayers in the IRS information for those years. So, the president has lost a lot of money, paid very little in taxes, and he claims to have $10 billion. Maybe that's the reason he doesn't want his returns released to the public, is because it would show that he has far less money than he has claimed. Your thoughts about this report from the New York Times?
I mean, first off, for many of us, we've seen him as a flim-flam man for quite some time. He's a shyster. He's going at it all from a whole bunch of different ways, and it's offensive. But then you look at it, and the real questions that I think the congressional oversight is trying to get to right now is, we have things like the Emoluments Clause, saying that he should not be making money from foreign governments while he is also being the president at the same time. That should scare everyone. If he has nothing to hide, then why are we not seeing these tax returns? Again, never happened before. The law, clearly black and white, says that the chairman of this committee can request those filings and get them, shall get them. There's no two ways about it, but they're now obfuscating that. He now has his loyalists that are refusing to comply with any sort of subpoenas.
Peggy and Metairie. Hi, Peggy. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Peggy.
Yeah, I want to know how I can get involved in helping Democrats get elected this year.
All right. I think we've already been down that road before, but if you want the phone number, it's 225-336-4155. Had the same number for a long time. Ellen in Sherwood. Ellen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Hi. So we said that we're voting for the Louisiana legislators this year. But I think most people don't know who is running. And I think most people are pretty fed up with the legislators we have now, many of them who are bought and paid for by the Koch brothers, or they're certainly not, they don't have Louisiana's interests at heart.
All right. Are the Koch brothers diving down into the Louisiana legislature, too? Are they involved?
Well, we've certainly seen them playing everywhere. And then they also have people on the ground here for Americans for Prosperity. Make no mistake about that. But we've got some great candidates running. I mean, right here in Baton Rouge, Dan Clater is term limited. That's a Republican.
And we've had
It's a Democratic seat.
Yeah.
And Beverly Brooks Thompson is doing a great job. She's doing all of the right things. We're incredibly impressed by her. And that's just one example of an amazing woman who's actually running to increase our numbers of women in our legislature.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Stephen Handwerk. Yes, Dan. Okay, tell you what, there's Dan. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, so are you trying to imply that that the liar-in-chief is owned hook, line, and sinker by one Vladimir Putin?
I don't know that Putin's name has even come up here. But it is interesting that the president wanted, in a conversation with Vladimir Putin the other day, talked about Robert Mueller, but yet he doesn't want Mueller going before Congress to talk about Putin. So, Steve,
isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And also, too, I don't know if this has ever happened in history before, but we also have a president that demands that nobody goes into the room when he talks to Putin. He wants to have private conversations. I don't know. It's making me awful twitchy, and I think it should make all Americans twitchy. So, yes, it is incredibly scary.
877-217-5757 is your number. Stephen Handwerk with us for a few more minutes, and he says that if this were President Obama or President Clinton, that the Republicans would be all over them. But would Democrats be defending them if those Democrats in high office were doing the same things as Donald John Trump? Have we gotten to that point where we don't really care? We just back the side we're on? We'll talk about it when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Patrick in Innisfail, the States, you're on with Stephen Handwerk. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey. Yeah, hey, Stephen. Look, when it comes to industry, and you have all these environmentalists, a lot of them from out of state coming here to stop new industry from, you know, that's our wealth. That's how we build wealth in Louisiana industry. The pipeline project, which is probably the most environmentally safe way to transport crude, that requires no fossil fuels, no, you know, second containment. You have valves that can shut it off in a second. You know, why do you guys as a party oppose industry and wealth building here?
Well, look, I don't know that we oppose industry. I mean, we've got to see the growth that we've seen here in the state, I think, has been doing incredibly well. I just don't believe that anyone should just go unchecked. We've had a lot of promises through a lot of different industries over the years that have promised us a lot of jobs, high-paying jobs, and then they don't deliver when they're given very good deals to come here to our state. I think that we need to hold people accountable. We need to hold people accountable to their agreements. And so I think that growth unchecked is not always great. We need to protect all of our interests, and I think that that is a delicate balancing act, and I think that our party does a lot better job than the other.
Paul in Opelousas. Good morning, Paul. You're on Talk Louisiana with Stephen Handwerk, Executive
Director
of Louisiana Democratic Party. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey,
good morning. Just a, good morning. Just a strategy thing. The opponent of Governor Edwards from North Louisiana, I'm in his district. Just suppose he wins. Is who is running now for his seat, and is his seat up if he loses? Does he still stay a state rep? What's the condition?
He's a congressional member, so right. That's why so many congressmen run for governor, is that they can keep their seats when they lose. And we've had a history of congressmen being elected governor, Buddy Romer, David Treen, correct. Edwin Edwards, Bobby Jindal, and it's a free shot for them. So yep. Ralph Abraham will remain your congressman in Opelousas, another example of gerrymandering. He should not be representing such a wide swath of the state, but that's an issue, and we see it with Garrett Graves, who's got he should have North Baton Rouge in his district, but he doesn't. That belongs to Cedric Richmond. Do you like that?
Look, I think all of us should have problems with the gerrymandering that we have. I mean, to have St. Landry Parish in three different congressional districts, that should be a problem to all of us. We need to have more community representation, and we need to draw those lines better. Well, guess what? We have that opportunity once every 10 years. So that's why it's incredibly important for us to actually lean in on this and really make sure we're talking to members who are running to be your next rep, to be your next state senator, and ask them those very hard questions about districting. That is certainly a problem.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with Stephen Handwerk.
You know, when we have a president who's in open defiance of the Constitution, and I believe mentally unstable to be president, in order to beat someone, you have to be someone. Joe Biden thinks China is no competition. A third grader would know better. He can't keep on a bathing suit when he goes swimming. Bernie Sanders once believed we should nationalize industries in this country, and he thinks the son of Sam and the Unabomber should have the right to vote. I don't think the Democrats can chew gum and walk at the same time. It's really disheartening.
What's gotten into you, David? Who are you backing?
Because I don't want to see this president reelected. I will back any Democrat, but the truth of the matter is the Democrats, just like with Hillary, they always seem to find a way to lose a very critical election. You know, Hillary tried to cover up she had pneumonia and fainted on national TV, and the people just felt that the woman was a liar. She had a server she should have never had, and the Democrats keep shooting themselves in the foot.
All right.
Well, look, we've got a great stable of candidates, 21 of them by my last count, might be up to 22 now, and there's some really great folks. We still have plenty of time. Right now is when people should be rolling up their sleeves, digging into their history, digging into what they support, what they're fighting for, and the way that I look at it and the way I coach everyone to do it is find your three or four that you like the most and support them with everything you can. If you can throw them a few dollars, do that. If you can join their local groups, which are starting everywhere in our state, join their local groups. Show your support. Now's the time. Just because we have someone leading in the polls today doesn't mean that that's where they're going to be at the end of the summer.
Would John Bel Edwards, this is another question from a listener, be a viable Democratic national candidate at some point, considering his conservative positions on abortion and guns?
Look, I think our governor is an amazing candidate, and I will be the first person that signs up for anything that guy wants to do. He's earned my support by what he does every single day delivering for this state. And that goes back to when he was a state rep from Amite, Louisiana. I was just there on Monday and looking to what he's doing now and delivering for the people of this state. So I believe that he could do anything he sets his mind to.
All right, and another listener asks if we have at our disposal the showdown on the Senate floor the other day between two Democrats, the party chair, Karen Carter-Peterson, and the aforementioned John Milkovich, Pride of Shreveport, when they were arguing over Milkovich's abortion bill, the fetal heartbeat bill, which got 31 votes. Here it is, the showdown between Milkovich and Karen Carter-Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. So as I understand it, this bill will now focus on whether or not an unborn baby, which you determine as a human, is that correct?
Absolutely. The best genetic science in the world is that your identity, your DNA, was created when the father's 23 chromosomes united with your mother's 23 chromosomes, created a single cell. It had all of the complexity and the DNA information that results in Senator Karen Carter-Peterson of May 6, 2019.
Why, thank you. Born on November 1st, 1969, making 50 this year. But thank you for that explanation. So I'm saying that in your bill, you have determined that you are suggesting that a human being exists at that point that you just described, and that once they have a heartbeat, then what would happen?
Then it becomes illegal for the abortionist to take their life.
So if they have a heartbeat, we should not, in your mind, abort, meaning kill?
Yes, ma'am.
So is this different from killing when they're, if they're a human being and they have a heartbeat, you're not for killing?
I'm against all abortion. And
that's not my question.
Okay.
If they're human and they have a heartbeat, you're not for killing them.
If they're human and they heartbeat, I'm not for killing them, but to come. Okay. Oh, and I guess you were trying to. That's unborn babies. That's true. That's.
Obviously, Karen Carter-Peterson was referring to the death penalty.
Yep.
And I don't know what Senator Milkovich's position is on that, but it appears that this is going to go to the governor's desk. Governor of Georgia just signed it, and several other states have similar laws that are now going to be reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court. The governor of Louisiana will have to make a choice. How do you think he will go on this one?
Look, it's not my job to speak for the governor. He does it quite well for himself. At the end of the day, we've got a lot of different folks in our party who believe differently on that. I certainly, believe in a woman's right to choose. I don't necessarily know when all those lines should be made. At the end of the day, though, I think that we have to remain focused on the work that we're doing. I keep coming back to the fact that if we're going to be voting on this as a constitutional amendment, I certainly think that the people should be allowed to get their chance to weigh in on whether the minimum wage should be raised in our state as well. That is such a life-sustaining thing in our state. And if you're truly pro-family values, then you should be in support of raising the minimum wage and giving teachers a raise at the same time.
And Kevin, not Kevin, but Matt Doyle, our producer, says that esteemed Senator from Shreveport, John Milkovich, did vote against abolishing the death penalty. Yesterday was a big day at the Capitol on the issue of tort reform and the measure House Bill 372 by Kirk Talbot, which was designed to reduce insurance rates, was basically shelved in a Senate committee. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's probably way above my pay grade. But at the end of the day, I always look at it very simply. In the situation that if someone is harmed, they deserve their day in court, and they should be able to be made whole again, if at all possible. I'm a big fan of my Netflix subscription because I learn a lot, and they've got some great documentaries on there. I'd encourage everyone to watch Hot Coffee. That really opened up my eyes as to what tort reform and the caps that are placed arbitrarily on damages. I really hope folks would watch that. I think it will really open up folks' eyes.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Stephen Always
Handwerk.
A pleasure.
Ian writes, your program has become insufferably imbalanced and you seem to be nothing but an echo of all other liberal media. I would ask Ian if he listened yesterday when we had Ben Baggard on the show, who was representing the Republican side and doing so quite eloquently, or last Friday when we had Rob Manus on the show, and they were on alone, just as you are. So we do our best to provide all sides an opportunity, and if William Morgan Cassidy or John Neely Kennedy would desire to be on this show, they're more than welcome to have it, the same seat you have, and we'll talk about it. But you know, when they go on these shows like Fox, they're not asked about the fact that they were a Democrat until they were 50 years old. What happened? That's interesting to me. Was it an epiphany? And what caused it? What was the catalyst that caused John Neely Kennedy at 55 years old to wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm not going to be like the other John Kennedy and be a Democrat.
Right.
I'm going to be a Republican. And I might be president, too. We might have the second U.S. Senator named John Kennedy going to the White House at some point.
Okay, let's calm down, Jim.
Well, he's the darling of the national media.
Senator Soundbite's not going to be in the president.
I remember when they counted out John Bell Edwards. I wouldn't count out John Neely Kennedy as leader of the free world
at some
point.
He made news.
And we'll try to get Kevin Glass on soon. But thank you so much for joining
us.
We'll be
Jim.
Back tomorrow. Stay tuned.